Hey everybody, welcome to Basar B'Challah. Now is when it gets Labor Day, you know, so you're lucky. There are only 8 shiurim left this summer, so you're not going to, you won't have to deal with it for too long. But Simen Sadi Aleph is where it starts to get to feel like we're learning Basar B'Challah, and Simen Sadi Beis is where, you know, that's where it really, really happens. So, Bez Hashem, the plan, I was just looking ahead a little bit. The plan is by our last shiur, which will probably be next Wednesday or Thursday. Stay tuned for that. I guess we'll figure that out. We'll hopefully get through Simen Sadi Beis. I don't think we can get past that. So maybe we'll do some night shiurim and some other inyanim of Basar B'Challah that we don't get to, like milchik bread and things like that, you know, that are easier sugyos that we're just not going to get to. Anyway, let's begin Simen Sadi Aleph. This is the shaila we're going to discuss today, at least, is a shaila that's very, very much nogei halacha l'maisa. Certainly the things we've discussed until now are things that are very relevant to halacha l'maisa, but a lot of the technical details in Basar B'Challah, the way we set up our kitchens, don't really happen all that much. But this one is something that's very halacha l'maisa. Certainly if you are someone who travels or ever goes to hotels that offer a free continental breakfast for many, many summers, I would take my sons on a trip for a week or two in August, and the trick was we'd always try to stay at hotels that offer a free continental breakfast, and we'd eat like 3 meals worth of food at the continental breakfast. But it was all, you know, obviously not like the bacon, but the cereal, you know, which is kosher. Very often I'd go back into the kitchen area and I would look at where the pastries are from. 90% of the time those are kosher. They're from OU companies or OV sometimes, oddly enough, which is also kosher. That's the Vada St. Louis. Anyway, but what happens is you're at the continental breakfast and you want to have cereal and milk. So if you're not Makbid v'Chalav Yisrael and you think that Chalav accompanies is also Chalav Yisrael, so you're going to have a bowl that belongs to the hotel, a spoon that belongs to the hotel, cold cereal and cold milk in that bowl and with that spoon. So is that mutter to do? Or do you say, no, this bowl, this spoon, it's been used for treif probably countless times. It's, you know, they don't only use it for cereal. People in hotels put whatever in it. They'll, you know, if they ran out of plates, someone will put the bacon in that bowl. So you're allowed to use it for cold food. Or can you, you go to a hotel room, and in the hotel room itself, they have some kalim sometimes in the room. And you want to have some ice cream late at night or something like that. So you want to use the kalim in the hotel room. Are you allowed to do that? That is today's sugya. That's ultimately what today's sugya is going to be about. So it's very relevant halacha l'maisa, and how we get there, how we get to the halacha l'maisa is fascinating. A little bit of background before we even see the Gemara. The Torah tells us in Parshas Matos, the sugya of Hechsher Kelim. The Torah tells us about how after the Melchama with Midian, so we had to deal with the clay Midian. We got all these Kelim that were used for all sorts of non-kosher uses, so what do we do with these Kelim? So the Torah tells us, well, if it's a Davar Asher Tavir Be'esh, it's something that was used in fire, so so the way to kosher it is with fire. That's what we call Libun, that if you have a barbecue that was used for treif, the only way to kasher it is by getting the whole thing red hot, libun gamur, and that's what we do ad hayom hazeh when we kasher for Pesach, when we kasher from treif to kosher. We self-clean oven was a great invention because it actually accomplishes libun gamur, or at least it used to. The newer ones maybe are not as hot, but it accomplishes libun gamur, that it gets to a very, very high temperature, 1,000 degrees or something. Everything gets red hot, and that's how you kasher. Then the Torah tells us, and kol davar shaloyavo beish, all those things that never went into the fire, then taviru b'mayim, then you need to put them in water. So what exactly is the Torah telling us over there? That which was not yavo be'esh, those kalim that the Midianites never used with fire, so those you just need to put in water. What do you mean put in water? What am I putting in water? So there are three deos in Rishonim about what in the world that means. Most Rishonim assume that it's a reference to Hagala, that this is a reference to another method of kashering called Hagala, which is when you dip something in boiling water, right? Sometimes you'll have situation that comes up in the house where you traipse up a spoon or something, and you call the rabbi, and the rabbi will say, take a giant pot of boiling water and just drop the spoon in the pot of boiling water, then take it out and rinse it off in cold water, and there you go. Now the spoon is kosher again. Many people do this right before Pesach. If you don't have a separate set of Pesach cutlery, or your Pesach cutlery is not as nice, so you'll do Haggadah right before Pesach. Sometimes, if not for the cutlery, for the Kiddush cups and things like that, so people do Haggadah. Why? Because the kelim that you're doing Haggadah on never came into contact with chametz food or treif food with direct fire. And therefore doesn't need libun gomer. It doesn't need fire to kasher it. All you need is water that was heated by fire to kasher it. So that's the way many Rishonim understand that. That's a reference to Haggadah. However, if you look at Rashi on Chumash says, no. When you get a kli from a guy, there's something about water. There's something about putting that kli in water. What's that? Tevilas kelim. This is the basis for the concept of tevilas kelim. When you buy kelim that were manufactured by a non-Jewish company, even if they've never been used, you need to tovel them. So that's what the Torah is referring to. The Torah is talking about tevilas kelim. Says the Ramban al HaTorah, it's not so pasha to say that we're talking about tevilas kelim, because it's not so pasha that tevilas kelim is daraisa. It's a major machlokas whether the entire din of tevilas kelim is daraisa or drabanan. So if tevilas kelim is not daraisa, this can't be about tevilas kelim. It happens to be that we probably paskin tevilas kelim is daraisa. There are kelim that are only chayiv in tevila midrabanan, like glass kelim are only chayiv in tevila midrabanan, but the metal kelim and things like that are chayiv in tevila midaraisa, but it's machlokes rishonim. So according to those rishonim that assume that tevilas kelim is only derabanan, how are you going to understand this pasuk in the Torah? So the Ramban says it must be that it's talking about rinsing off a kli that was used with cold. Meaning you go into the Midianite's house and you find their ice cream scooper. So you know their ice cream scooper was only used with cold. It was never used with hot because the ice cream is not hot, right? So what do you do with that? So that's what it's telling you. Taviru b'mayim. Put it in water. Meaning you need to rinse it. Now when something came into contact with non-kosher, cold and cold, so what you need to do is you need to rinse it off. So says the Ramban. Now wait a second. Is it obvious that you're going to rinse it off? Well, you're going to use a filthy, grimy, gross kli? So the Ramban says, not just rinse, like really rinse. Meaning they may wash it off and, you know, and it may be obvious that you would want to rinse off kelim, but shif-shuf, you know, you want to really scrub it clean. You want to make sure, you know, the difference between the way maybe you would do the dishes and the way your mothers would do the dishes, right? I mean, when you do the dishes, you don't even need soap or sponge or anything. You just, you know, turn on the sink and it gets rinsed like the way the dishes look in your dorm rooms or the few things that you have there, you know, like a sandwich maker or whatever, you know, like it adds flavor when there's like layers of of old cheese or whatever on it. So you'll rinse it off if you could, but you're not going to like sit there rubbing it and scrubbing it. So that's what it means to rinse it off with a good scrubbing. That's how the Ramban writes. That's what the pasuk is teaching me, an intense kind of rinsing. Now, with that background, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Zayin and Beis over here is actually teaching us two different things. Right, let's see the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells Sar Adam Basur Gvina b'mitpachas achas, you could wrap cheese and meat in a single cloth. Well, actually, you know, as long as you make sure that they don't touch each other. We'll skip the rest of the Mishnah for now. Says the Gemara, what do I care if the meat and the cheese touch each other? Why is that a big deal? They're both cold. There are no bleels that go from one to the other. It's cold and cold. Nothing's going to happen. So granted, you're not going to need to take to peel off a layer of one or the other when they come in contact with each other, but at the very least, you're still going to need to rinse them if they were to come in contact with each other. So what the Gemara is telling us is that the Mishnah is really teaching me two separate deen. Meaning one deen is that there's such a thing called hadacha that you need to rinse off when cold touches cold. And two things that should not be touching each other, whether it be treif and kosher or whether it be milk and meat, when they touch each other cold, that you're going to need to do hadacha. The second thing the Mishnah is teaching me is, don't create a situation where you need hadacha. Meaning, don't do something that's going to where you're then going to need to do hadacha. Don't put the meat and the cheese in the same cloth if they're going to be touching each other. The Mishnah says you're only allowed to put them in the same cloth when they won't be touching each other. But if the meat and the cheese are going to touch each other, that's a problem. You might say, well, why is that a problem? I'll just do hadacha. Elamai, the Mishnah is telling me, don't create a situation where you need to do hadacha. Perhaps because we're afraid you might not do hadacha. You'll think, yeah, I'll remember, I'll do hadacha. But you're not going to remember, you're not going to do hadacha. So the Mishnah comes out and says, in addition to teaching that there's a din hadacha, is also teaching to avoid situations where hadacha would ever be required, because there's a concern that you just might not wash it. So comes along the Bali Iter, and it's quoted by everybody over here, and it makes it to the page in Shulchan Aruch. The Bali Iter says that the gezera to avoid tzonin b'tzonin b'hadacha is only if it's the kind of thing that you wouldn't wash anyway. But if it's something that you would wash anyway, then you don't have to worry about that second din that we just spoke about. I mean, again, there are two dinim. Cold touches cold, you need to rinse it. That's non-negotiable. That's going to have to happen. Now, but the halacha, that you're not allowed to bring cold into contact with cold, that you can't have cold milk in contact with cold meat, or that you can't have cold non-kosher in contact with cold kosher, that halacha that you're not allowed to create that situation is only on account of the fact that you might, what? You might forget hadacha. But if it's the kind of food that you're anyway going to rinse, you're always going to rinse it, it's just the way the food is eaten. So there's no concern you're going to forget hadacha, because you always do hadacha. You ever take a piece of raw meat? So when you open up raw meat from a package, you want to barbecue it, you want to cook it, the first thing you do with raw meat is that you rinse it off in the sink. So you do a quick hadacha of the raw meat. So if you have a piece of raw cold meat that touched a piece of raw cold cheese, so yeah, it requires hadacha. But are you allowed to put it in contact with cold cheese? So says Balitir, yes! Because you're going to rinse the meat anyway. Maybe that's a bad example, because the you're not going to rinse the cheese anyway. Well, let's say, can you put it in contact with a cold beef jerky or something? A cold non-kosher beef jerky? Now they have kosher beef jerkies. A cold non-kosher bacon strip? They have kosher bacon also. But whatever, a cold non-kosher bacon strip? Can you put it in contact? Says Balitzer, yes! Because of course you're going to rinse off the meat anyway, so there's no chashash that you're going to come to forget to do the hadacha. The Ra'ah disagrees, and he says no. The gezeira is still going to apply even if it's a kind of item that you rinse off. What's the nekudas hamachlokas between the Balita and the Ra'ah? So it could be that they're arguing about what hadacha means. Meaning there is this machlokas shoshan we mentioned before, that according to the Ramban, if the Torah is telling me I got to do hadacha, then that must mean that the Torah is telling me not just stam to rinse, but the Torah is telling me shiv shuv, you need to really rub it well, scrub it well. So it could be that the Bali Iter is assuming that what hadacha means is stam to rinse. And therefore the Bali Iter says, if it's the kind of thing you're going to rinse off anyway, so don't worry about it, because you'll take care of it anyway. It could be that the Ra'ah holds that hadacha means to really scrub it well, to not just stam rinse it, but to really scrub it off well. If that's the case, you can't rely on the fact that you'll always rinse it anyway. Because you may always rinse it, but you may not always scrub it really well. That could be the nekudas hamachlokas between the Bali Iter and the Ra'ah. Now,
maybe you can say that things that are not normal, that it's not regular to rinse, that we would say that those, if you flip it, that maybe that the Ra'ah would say that, because like if something's regular to be rinsed, they're like, okay, I'm just going to rinse it, but if something has to dafka be rinsed for the purpose of the halacha, then maybe you should say that like there's less of a chashash there, because like specifically
it doesn't seem that way. It seems that the Bali Iter's whole chiddush is that I'm not concerned you're going to forget when it's the kind of thing you're going to do anyway. I mean, the concern is that you're going to forget. The reason you're not allowed to put them in contact with each other is you might forget to do the hadacha. That concern exists. And he says that concern exists across the board. You might forget to do the hadacha for halachic reasons. But if you're going to do it anyway for non-halachic reasons, then of course you'll do the hadacha, because even if you forget this halacha, you'll do it, because that's just the way you prepare raw meat.
But the point is, if you do it in like a more advanced way, then that's what we're saying, that the Bali Itzer would say that
if you have to do it in a more advanced way, then you can, meaning the Bali Itzer would say you don't have to do it in a more advanced way, and that's why I'm willing to rely that anyway you'll do the hadacha. Whereas the Ra'ah is concerned that since you have to do it in a more serious way, in a more intense way, that I can't rely that you're going to do a hadacha anyway. You might forget to do that. You might only do a regular rinse. That what the machlokas is?
That what the basra l'chol, what really mixes when the cold things touch, and that's why you would need the deeper cleaning.
Meaning how deeply it gets embedded. Yeah, I mean, that's the pashtus, for sure. I'm just suggesting a little more. Yeah, that's definitely the pashtus. Now, Shulchan Aruch paskins that something that you would typically rinse anyway, like the Bali Itzer, does not have an issue of putting in a cold treif plate. Right, if you have a cold treif plate, you could put something cold on it. Rabbi Kveirig quotes the Ra'ah, "Didafka laniach isur b'kli heter mutter hechi didarka ladiach hakli, avol bebeiz mine ochlin shnaguzah b'zeh asur b'kol inyan." The Ra'ah has a further distinction, that maybe this idea that if you're going to rinse it anyway, you don't have to worry, that's only when you're talking about food in a plate. Cold food in a cold plate. But if it's cold food touching cold food, you have cold meat touching cold cheese, or cold treif touching cold kosher, then it's always going to be asul chachila, and you're not going to be allowed to put them in contact with each other, even if it is the kind of thing that you would normally rinse. That's what Rabbi Kiveger adds over here on the page of Shulchan Aruch in the name of the Ra'ah. Now the Rashba brings a raya from a pasuk to this issue. The Torah tells us in Parshas Tzav that the way they would do one of the karbanos, or many of the karbanos, is that they would take the chalavim of the animals, the chalav of the animals, and they would touch it on the meat of the karban. That the meat of the karban and the chalav of the karban came into contact with each other. How could you do that? You need tzadacha. You're not allowed to put cold in contact with cold. You might forget to do a hadacha. So how can they take the chalav of the animal of the karban and put it in contact with the basar of the karban? So must be that the Bali Itzer is correct, because it's raw meat, so you can wash it anyway. Zayzok to Rashba, that you have a raya from Pasuk and Chumash that the Bali Itzer is correct. That anything you can do hadacha on anyway, you're allowed to put cold into contact with cold. Why is that not such a great raya? So one possible reason why it's not such a great raya is in the Beis HaMikdash you have nothing to be concerned about Kohanim's reasoning. So the whole concern is that you might forget to do a hadacha. You're not going to forget to do a hadacha. Kohanim's reasoning. Kohanim, why is it also not a good raya? Another reason it's not a good raya? Okay, but it's achilas mizbeach or whatever. Okay, and it's not necessarily the parts of the carbon that are eaten. Why else is not a good raya? Is this din that you're not allowed to put cold in contact with cold? It's Rabban. The Pasuk is a din Daraisa. I know that on a Daraisa level you're allowed to put chalev in contact with kosher meat. The question is, meet the Rabbanon, are you allowed to do it? How do you bring me a raya from Pasuk and Chumash to what the din Rabbanon is? That's the Grah points out. Makes this Rashba very, very difficult to understand. What's he even thinking? He's reading a raya from Pasuk and Chumash that, oh, you see that they put chalav in contact with kosher meat in violation of this din d'rabbanan. Elamai, we must hold like the Bali Itzer that it's not a violation of this din d'rabbanan. What do you mean? There were a lot of violate din d'rabbanan in the Chumash. Din d'rabbanan didn't exist yet. Unless you say what the Rashba means by this raya is the Taz HaYadua. Anyone know the Taz HaYadua? If anyone ever asks you, the Taz HaYadua, the well-known Taz, it's known as the well-known Taz. So this is it. You got to, you know, when you say it's the well-known Taz, you got to know it. The Taz HaYadua in Hilchos, Rosh Hashanah, and two other places in Shulchan Aruch. The Taz writes that even though the Rabbanan are allowed to make Dinim Drabbanan, which are clearly additions to the Dvar Torah, to the Dinim Daraisa, you know the end?
I mean, I don't know. I know from Taz, I thought that they were all really knowing beforehand,
No, no, not that. They're not allowed to do dinim drabanan. The rabbanon are not authorized to make dinim that are against that which is mefurish b'kra. If you have something that's mefurish in the pasuk that it's mutter, the rabbanon are not authorized to make a din drabanan against that which is mefurish b'kra. The taz hayaduah. What? Rabbanon always make dinim drabanan against dinim daraisa. They tell you not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shchalias B'Shabbos. So din daraisa, you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Right? They always make dinim. But if it's mefurish b'kra, then they're not allowed to make a din against din daraisa. Now, where does the Taz HaYadua, where does he say, what context in Rosh Hashanah, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, does he say it? So Taz has a kasha. Taz says, I don't understand. We're not allowed to clap or dance on Shabbos or any of these kinds of musical types of things. Why? You might come to, I know a lot of some people Hasidish looking at me like, what are you talking about? You're not allowed to dance. And but I'm saying there's a Gemara, right? That you're not allowed to dance and clap on Shabbos, right? Zerah Shem Yisak Klishir. Okay, so maybe you are allowed to. But the Gemara says you're not allowed to, right? So you're not allowed to dance and clap on Shabbos because Zerah Shem Yisak Klishir. So if there's, so ask the Taz, what's more likely to, you know, what's a closer gezeirah shem yisak klei shir? Don't clap, or don't play an instrument like a trumpet sounding like instrument. I would think playing a trumpet sounding like instrument is much closer to gezeirah shem yisak klei shir. Why didn't they ask for blowing shofar on yantif? It should be asur to blow shofar on yantif gezeirah shem yisak klei shir. Says the Taz, because you know what, Rosh Hashanah always sometimes falls on Shabbos, sometimes doesn't. But you know when it always falls? It always falls on Yantif every year. Rosh Hashanah always falls on Yantif. So if they're going to make a gzera that you're not allowed to blow shofar on Yantif, it's going to turn out that you'll never ever do the mitzvah daraisa of shofar. The Torah says there's a mitzvah of doing shofar. The Rabbanan are authorized to say, yeah, do it these times, not those times. Don't do it on Shabbos. Do it on weekdays. That they're allowed to do. But what they're not allowed to do is to take a pasuk in the Torah and make it totally irrelevant. And say that pasuk in the Torah, mefurish b'kra, never applies.
It's like the angel in the beginning of Malchus.
What?
Isn't this the idea in the beginning of Malchus where angels come and they try to bring the cup over and reject it?
Yeah.
It would be
Malchus
person
angels. Yeah, good, right? I don't know. Maybe.
Because I was always wondering why it's a
valid halachah. Right. Maybe that's it, yeah. The Taz also appears in Hilchos Mila. It's a little bit difficult how he applies in Hilchos Mila, because he says, why weren't they gozer not to do Mila b'Shabbos? Gzeira, that you're going to carry something. So he says, because it's Mefurish B'Kra that Mila happens on Shabbos. Ve'yom HaShmini Afilu b'Shabbos, that's Kilu, it's Mefurish B'Kra. It's not as mefurish. It says b'yom hashmini. It doesn't say afilu b'shabbos. We darshan b'yom hashmini. Oh, afilu b'shabbos. So it's not as mefurish. But that's where the Taz appears in Hilchos Mila as well. So, okay, so if you're going to say that it's mefurish b'kra, that the chelev and the basar come in contact with each other by the karban, by the karbanos, so the raya might be, how would the Rabbanan ever be allowed to make a gzeira, a din, that you're not allowed to bring cold in contact with cold? Right? How would they even be authorized to make such a din? So that's why you're allowed to bring a raya from din daraisa to a din Rabbanan. Because if it's a daraisa, it's mefurish b'kra, then the Rabbanan wouldn't even be allowed. Yehudi, you had a question? So that's what we suggested before. I forget who said, but someone suggested before that Kohanim's reason, that maybe that's another reason why it's not such a great raya. Because Beis HaMikdash maybe is different than everywhere else. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a little bit of the background to this din of touching cold versus cold. So again, let's chazer over very clearly. We have two dinim in the Mishnah. Din number one in the Mishnah is that there's such a thing called hadacha. That might even be a pasuk in the Torah. That when cold touches cold, you need to rinse it off. According to the Ramban, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Cold touches cold, you need to rinse it off. Then the second din, which is going to be the din we're focused on, is not that the requirement to rinse when it does touch, but are you allowed to make it touch? touch? Are you allowed to bring cold into contact with cold? So we said that no, you're not allowed to. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. You can only wrap the basar and the gavina in the mitpachas. If they will not touch, you cannot make them touch, because if you make them touch, you may forget to rinse them. The Bala Yitzhar just adds that knesh that, but if it's something you're going to rinse anyway, then I'm not so worried. If something's going to be rinsed anyway, I'm not so worried. So where are we right now as far as using the dishes in the hotel room? You want to take the tray for dish. Cold cereal, cold ice cream you're going to put in the tray for dish. Is it mutter or asr? Why do you say machlokas? Wash what?
The dish.
But I'm not going to wash the ice cream. Meaning when cold comes in contact with cold, you got to rinse off the food before you eat it.
So we have to rinse off the dish before you eat it.
That doesn't help, though. Meaning even if the dish is rinsed off, I'm not allowed to put cold food in contact with the cold dish if it was already trafed. If it was already trafed up. So if that's the case, right, that wouldn't be a good the pasuk in the Torah wouldn't be a great riot to that, because then right, the pasuk in the Torah would say that you're then allowed to use it if you've rinsed it off. You're right, but the way the halacha appears in Shulchan Aruch, is that I don't care what you did to the dish. If the dish is a trefa dish, and now you you're gonna and that dish, you know, has bleos of trefa dish. But rinsing it in cold doesn't make it a non-trefa dish. If the trefa dish was never used with non-kosher hot food, it was only used non-kosher cold food. So that's what the Torah says. Tavir b'mayim, rinse it off, and then you'll be fine. It's kashered. But if it's mamish trek dish, and I don't know, there are bowls in the hotel room. It could have been used for bacon. It could have been used for soup. It could have been used, right? So rinsing it cold is not going to help. So any cold food that I put into contact with it is going to require hadacha. Unless it's a cold food, no matter what, it's going to require hadacha. Do I do hadacha on my ice cream before I eat it? No, you don't rinse off the ice cream before you eat it. Do I do hadacha on my cereal before I eat it? Certainly not. You don't rinse off cereal. So right now, where we are, simple reading, should be aser, right? Should be aser. Yikes, so this is going to be a problem, right? So let's see what we could do about that. So Shulchan Aruch in Sifal, which just quotes the Gemara, Basar Gavina Shnagu Zebzeh, Mutarim, Elish Shatzarach Ladiach, Makam Negiyasan. You need to rinse off the area that the Basar touched the Gavina and the Gavina touched the Basar. Umotu Lotzer Alsam Bimit Pachas Achas, you could wrap them in the same cloth. Velochashin Hashem Yigu Zebzeh. You don't have to worry that they might touch each other. Comes along Badei HaShulchan and he says, how do you do this Hadacha? V'yesh HaKosvu Shadacha Hi Beloshif Shuf B'yadav El Asagi B'shtif Asmayim B'makom Anagia La'avir Mashanidbak Me'echad Al Chavero. He says there are some say that Hadacha just means a basic rinse. V'yesh HaKolik Al Zev Esover Shetzorach Shif Shuf Dachtka Shebeloze Ev Shoshein Over V'nir L'Hachmer Kedvar. And some say, no, you gotta really rinse it well. And he says, I think we should be machmer like that Shita, that it needs to be scrubbed and rinsed really well. He's quoting a Yad Yehuda, that it's not enough to rinse the meat and cheese, you need to actually scrub it really well. Shach Sivkat Nalef writes, because of a Bach, didavka kisha echad mehen lach. Ooh, the first crack in this halacha. That this whole halacha that you need to rinse is only if one of them is lach. Avlim shneihem yeveshim afilu adacha in sarach. If they're both dry, then it doesn't even need hadacha. So the din of the Shulchan Aruch is only use either the cheese or the meat is moist. If both of them are dry, you don't even need to rinse them. Where does that leave us with the ice cream? Or the cereal?
Well, ice cream is
Milk is moist. The ice cream is moist. And maybe if you have dry cereal in the bowl. Okay, so right now we're up to dry cereal or crackers in the bowl. Right, but we're still not willing to put milk in our cereal, and we're still not willing to put ice cream in the bowl.
But how come they made the jump from two foods touching each other to a plate and a bowl touching?
Well, it could be that's the source of the din in the Torah. Right, it was about kelim, and we'll see. We'll see that there might be.
We're going to say that a plate is the equivalent of a piece of food.
Yes. Yes, that's what we're going
to
say.
Is it applied to both sides that the foods would have to be moist or only one of them
have to be moist? Either one.
So
What if you didn't? Yeah. Well, if either one is moist, then you're going to have a problem.
The food that was in that bowl earlier.
No, but if the food earlier, now the bowl is dry. So the food earlier doesn't really matter.
But let's say before, the food was moist, the bowl was dry.
Beforehand, it had hot soup in it, so it doesn't matter. It's mamish tray. The bowl is tray. Right? It had hot bacon in it. So dry, moist doesn't make a difference when you're dealing with hot. It only makes a difference when you're dealing with cold. So what if you didn't do hadacha? Let's say you had meat touches cheese, cold, right? And you didn't rinse off the meat. So what do you mean, what if you didn't do hadacha? So do hadacha, right? What does that mean? So the poskim says, no. You didn't do hadacha and then you cooked the meat. So now whatever tam of cheese was on the surface of that meat is now embedded in the meat because now you cooked it. Can you eat the meat? So the Taz in Sivkot and Aleph sounds like it's not Asur B'dieved. B'dieved is going to be Mutter. Why? Because we're going to have a Machlokas later in Siv Dalid. There are certain times where you need to do more than Hadacha. You need to do a Klipa. You need to actually peel off the surface. We'll see what times those are, what has to happen in order to require that. When there's a requirement of Klipa, there's a Machlokas. What if you didn't do a Klipa? Is it Asur B'dieved? So says the Taz, if even by a klipa there's a shita that it's mutter b'diavad, so when all you need is hadacha, for sure it's going to be mutter b'diavad. That's the Taz. Comes along the Prima Gadim and Sif Seidas, Sifkat Nyud, says, no, don't make any kal v'chomers. If there's a machlokas by klipa, whether it's mutter b'diavad, mistama, there's a machlokas by hadacha, whether it's mutter b'diavad. So just like it's a machlokas there, it's a machlokas here. And then comes along a third sheet of the Yad Yehud that he says, no, maybe we're more machmir by Adacha. Wow, more machmir by Adacha than we are by Klipa. Why? Because the only reason to be makel by Klipa is that there is a suffix whether there was any bliya bechlal. And even into a kedei Klipa. And another suffix that there might be shishim connected that which is balua. So every case of kedei Klipa is a svek sveka. But by Hadacha, you can assume that two cold things touched each other. You can assume that there's something on the surface. So there's no suffix to begin with. And therefore, maybe even B'diavad is going to be asur. So basically, three shitos, Badei HaShulchan and the Biurim, at the very beginning, the Siman quotes these three shitos, whether it's asur B'diavad. That doesn't really help us as far as our issue with the hotel room. So let's get into this issue a little bit. The issue starts with the Gemara in the second paragraph of Pesachim that the Darkei Moshe quotes over here. Darkei Moshe quotes a Gemara in the second paragraph of Pesachim that seems to allow putting cold chametz in a Pesach Dika Kli, or cold Pesach Dika food in a chametz Dika Kli. Why would that be allowed the Chachiva? You're not allowed to put cold in contact with cold. So why are you allowed to put cold... Why are you allowed to put cold Pesach Dika food in a cold chametz kli? So the Rama has three possible suggestions. First, he says maybe there's a distinction between Hilchas Pesach and Hilchas Kashrus. Yeah, we're going to allow it in Hilchas Pesach, mishum kula de chametz, but it's not in Hilchas Kashrus. So what did I say wrong over there? But there's no such thing as kula de chametz. It's always chumra de chametz. There's no such thing. So the Rama's first answer is very difficult to understand. Now we're dafka gonna. Yes, we always distinguish between Pesach, chametz for Pesach, and other isurim. But it's always in the other direction. It's always to be more machmir by Pesach. It's never to be more makel by Pesach. So that's very schwer. Then the Rama says, maybe the difference is, what Ephraim say, between dry and moist, right? Maybe the difference is between dry and moist. That when it says on Pesach, you don't have to worry about it. That's what it's talking about, putting dry food. Dry Pesach tikka food in a chametz tikka kli. But over here, we're talking about moist cheese, moist meat. Okay. Then the Rama suggests that maybe there's a difference between a chametz kli that had a blia in it and one that didn't really have any blios in it. Meaning a chametz tikka kli that was used with hot chametz. Whereas the chametz tikka kli, that was just like a candy dish. So it only had cold chametz in it in the first place. Those are the three suggestions of the Rambam.
Do we know whether or not the Rambam is talking about Chametz Gamor or Chametz Darabanan?
Pashtus is chametz gamur. We're assuming that it was mamish used for chametz. It was really used for chametz. So, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha, the Rama adds answer number two into the halacha. Right? What does Rama say? V'davka davar sheish bo lachluchis k'tzas. Aval davar yavish mamish. If you have something that's mamish dry, and then he adds answer number three. Im lo bala hakli rak bitzonein mutal aniach bo davar yavish blo adach hakla. Whoa, so the Ramah combines answers number two and three. He himself doesn't even stick with his first answer that we're going to be more making by comments, right? So what does Ramah say? That answers number two and three are correct. That you need two conditions to be met if you want to use a tray for kli for cold. It needs to be that the meat is dry, or whatever food you're putting in the kli is dry, and that the non-kosher plate was never used for hot. It was only used for cold. According to the Rama, how are we doing in our hotel room?
Very bad. Right? We've regressed.
Right? Why have we regressed? Because now I can't even put dry cereal into the bowl. Why not? Because it's balua with actual treif, right? Meaning it may have been used for hot bacon. It may have been used for hot, you know, tray for soup. So it's balua with tarfus. If it was never balua, the first time it was only used with cold. Okay, good. So now I can use dry food in it. But the Rama says it needs that it was always used with cold and then dry food, but I can't assume that the hotel plates were always used with cold. You have to assume in a hotel setting, especially since they wash it in hot water. So if the non-kosher plate was used for hot non-kosher meat, then you're not allowed to put kosher meat on that plate, even if the plate is wiped clean, even if the meat is cold and dry. You're putting a beef jerky in it, or cereal. Also, if the meat is cold and moist, you can't even put it in a non-kosher plate, even if you know that the non-kosher plate was only used for cold. Wow. Now, the Taz is not happy with this Rama. Taz and Sifkat and Gimel. Yeah.
If the wash is with hot water, that's considered
used for chametz. So we're not going to get to it this time, but yeah, I mean, it could be, if while it was dirty, a hot stream of water hit it, then yeah, that would be considered chametz. That's Iri Kli Rishon, and that's considered to be enough to be mavliya into the Kli. So the Taz in Sifkat and Gimel is not happy with this Rama, and he actually changes the gears of the Rama. And the Taz writes, "Ubahagaz zos mashma da'af biyavish b'inin shehayat hashmisha tchila b'tzonein v'oz muter b'tzonein dafka." He says the Rama sounds like you need both of these qualifications. That it has to, the kli initially had to have been used only with cold, and what you're putting in right now is yavish. That's very strange. And aside from that, the lashon of the Rama is strange. So the lashon of shekvar zachar b'tchila. Right? I mean, the Rama mentions the phrase dover yavish twice over here.
Why would the Rama do that?
He says the dafka dover yavish sheish b'lech luchas k'tzas. Aval dover yavish mamish imlo balakli rak b'tzonein. If you have something that's a dover yavesh and the kli was only below a mitzonin, then you could put a dover yavesh. Just say put it. I mean, then you could put a dover yavesh. So the lashon of the Rama is all messed up. So the Taz says, like, don't yell at me for changing the gears in the Rama, because it's obvious that this Rama is messed up. That the way we have this Rama, something's wrong with this Rama. So the Taz says the lush of the Rama is anyway messed up. Vinira says the Taz, sheish kanta usofer. It's a typo. Vitzorich lomar aval dover yavesh mamish. Oh, imlo balakli rak betzonein. See what he did? If what you're putting in is a dover yavesh. Oh, imlo balakli rak betzonein. What do you do? Or. It's not this and, it's this or. You could have either a davar yavish or the kli was only below its own name. Mutal aniach ba davar lach below adacha. will be and he says when it's only bitzonei, then you could even put a davar lachin without a dachu beer davar of the kaiel mashkas for shulchan aruch b'kter shel lizer tzonei. Vaynush and hasham shabo b'chamin k'moshu zecharti lel. Val ze amar de b'davar yavish mutal l'sham yishbo below hadacha. Wow. So it turns out, according to the Taz, meat that was put on a clean, non-kosher plate will not need to be rinsed if the meat is dry or if the plate became non-kosher from a cold source. In the hotel room, do you know that the plate became non-kosher from a cold source? No, you have to assume it became non-kosher from a hot source. So what are you then allowed to do in the hotel room? You're allowed to put a davar yavish. So we're back to dry cereal being allowed on the hotel plates, according to the Taz. Not according to the simple reading of the Ramah, but the Taz says simple reading of the Ramah is Eino Muvan Me'elav. It's a Mufrach Me'elav. So it has to be that the Ramah means this. So the Taz learns this in the Ramah.
Isn't the Darach Moshe, the Ramah left it as a tzara, his first, we're working on it, because he left the second answer as a tzara, Ian. And he says that he accepts this third answer. So why over here is he putting both of them on Allah?
Maybe because the whole thing is a derabanan, so he's willing to rely on it. I don't know. But it makes more sense based on the Darkei Moshe. You don't need both, right? Why would he require both? Based on the Darkei Moshe, he had three answers. Each one should work independently. Unless you say no, because he didn't really accept the second answer. Maybe he has problems with each one, so only the combination of the two is he happy with. Okay. So that's the Taz. Comes along the Shach, Sif Katan Gimel. The Shach asks on the plain reading of the Ramah and on the explanation of the Taz. Shach says, I don't get it. When do we ever find that cold food gets flavor from a cold plate? You're going to tell me I'm going to take moist, cold food, milk, and I'm going to put it in that cereal bowl, and it's going to get the flavor of the bacon that was in there 2 weeks ago? We never find cold and cold transfer flavor. I don't care how that plate became non-kosher. It became non-kosher with hot bacon yesterday. Doesn't matter. Right now it's cold. And I'm putting cold food in it. So the Shach very strongly rejects the Ramah. And the Shach writes, Aval kol dvarav mitchilasan v'atsofan enim uvanim li. Everything the Ramah wrote on this topic, and he's not only talking about here in Shulchan Aruch, in the Darkei Moshe, in the Torah Chatas, in the Ramah's Svarim, everything the Ramah ever wrote on this topic, enim uvanim li. Doesn't make any sense. And he points out that the Ramah himself in Simon Kuf Chav Aleph Siv Hei is against this Ramah. Why? Because over there, the Torah writes, "Kelim shenasham shvem mechamin kungun kderos vieros magilan amadbilan vein mutar." That if you have kelim that were used for hot, you could do hagala and tevila. Meaning, you claim it. You go and you get kelim from the guy that were used, or you go on what do they call it? Is eBay the right one?
Yeah.
eBay is where you bid for things. Okay. Yeah, so you go on eBay and you buy like used dishes or pots from Goyim. So you need to do two things: you need to kasher them and you need to tovel them, right? You need to kasher them because they have blios in them of non-kosher, and you need to tovel them because anytime you buy a kli from a non-Jew, you need to tovel. So the kasher Rashbam, which one do you do first, hagala or tevila? So says Rashbam, Magilan Tchila V'achar Kach Matbilan. You got to do Agala first. Because if you're going to tovel them while they still have treif tam in them, then that's like tovel the sheretz biyada. That's like going to the mikveh holding a sheretz. Meaning, how are you toveling this and bringing it to Kedushas Yisrael if it's got pig in it? So you need to purge it of all of the treif of leos, and then you can tovel it and ooh, Kedusha. Okay. That's what Rashbam writes. Aval ri kasav she yachal at bilan tchila. The Ri says, nah, you could tovel it first. It's got pig in it. He says, who says you're ever going to do hagalah on this? You know what you might do? You might take this kli and just use it for cold. And then you'll never even need to do hagalah. So don't tell me it's tovel v'sheretz biyado. You're allowed to use a tray for kli as long as you only use it for cold, says the Ri. And the Ramah paskins like that Ri. So what's the Ramah telling you? That if you have a tray for kli, you could use it for cold. I had it become tray with hot. It became tray with hot. And you could use it for cold. That's against the simple reading of the Ramah. Right? And it's against the Taz. Because you could put cold, moist food on a non-kosher plate. That was bolei abechamin. Furthermore, says the Shach, v'chei mashi behedi b'sefer ha-trumus v'shari durisim peyeh b'smag lavikov memalith. I'll give you a whole list of Rishonim that you never heard of if you never learned Yeridaya before. Sheviyu raya lekelim shenisbashel ben basar b'cholav shemutu l'shamish b'tzonim nichavish shal yayin nesach shemutu l'shamish ben. That kelim that had basar b'cholav cooked in them, you're allowed to use them for cold. Because a chavish shal yayin nesach, you're allowed to be mishtamish ben. Furthermore, v'achim mashmol adim edivir arashma b'chidush v'sham. The Rashba says explicitly, you have a kli that was used for hot, and was used for treif, hot. Now you want to use that kli for cold, moist foods? No problem. Just clean out the kli. No problem. Therefore, the Shach argues in the simple reading of the Ramah here, and the Shach says that if the non-kosher plate is rinsed clean, and the food you're putting in it is cold, I don't care if it's dry or moist, you're allowed to eat without rinsing the food off, even if the plate was balei abechamin. Ooh, so where does the Shach leave us? With our ice cream or our cereal in our hotel plates, hotel bowls? Well, now it's mutter, right? Why is it mutter now? Because I don't care that those plates were balei abechamin, that they became treif with hot. Right now I'm using a cold plate for cold food. So as long as it's a cold plate for cold food. Now, if I want to use it for microwave popcorn, you know, I microwave some popcorn in the hotel room, and then I want to pour some of that hot popcorn into the plate, now I have a problem, because that's hot food. Right? That's a real problem. But for cold food, totally mutter. Even if it's lach, I'm allowed to use it for cold food, says the Shach. Then the Shach takes it back a little bit. He walks it back, just a tiny step back, not all the way back, just a tiny step. And the Shach at the very end says, "Miu kol ze b'derech haray, avol imbol ishtamish ben derech keva, afilu tzoni nasu, gzer shem ishtamish ben cham." And that, the Rambam says explicitly in Kuf Chaval, that this whole hetter that you can put cold food in the hotel plates is only if you can use them derech haray. But if you can use them derech keva, you can use them constantly, don't leave treif plates around that you're going to be using, because then I'm afraid you can use it for microwave popcorn also. Then I'm afraid you can use it for hot cereal too, not just for cold cereal. And therefore you can only do it derech haray, not derech keva. So if you're staying at a hotel for one day, and you're only going to go to one continental breakfast, we're still okay, right? But what if you're staying at the hotel for a week? You don't want to be jumping around from one hotel to the other. Does that become derech keva? So he doesn't define what's keva and what's arai. So when we asked Rav Shach to this shayla, what's called keva, what's called arai, he said that if you're in a hotel for 3 days, you can use the plates. I'm sorry, he didn't say that. He said, he brought a raya from Mishnah Brura somewhere, that arai means once every 30 days. But he thought that there's a difference between using the plates in your room for a couple of days in a row and using the plates downstairs by the communal continental breakfast multiple days in a row. Why? More than that. Not the same plate. I mean, the plates in your room are the same plates every day. But you're going to go and use the plate for the continental breakfast. What are the chances that you're getting the same plate you got yesterday? Or the same spoon you got yesterday? Very, very slim. Right? Because it's meant to serve all the people in the hotel. So since it's probably not the same plate, that's called arai. Because each plate, you're only using arai.
I'm not sure that's true, though. Because if you use the plate, the housekeeper comes, right?
Again, if you're using it in your room in a chinami, then then they're going to leave those same plates in your room. But if you're using it down by the breakfast... Which part are you not... I'm not sure which part you're...
Are going to be the same plate.
Oh, the part that is in your room? No, the room comes stocked with plates. I'm not talking about where you order room service. The room has plates. And some of these rooms some of these hotels have like a kitchen area in the hotel room. And they have these family-friendly hotels. Okay. Yeah, I know these well. We've been to many, many, many of these hotels.
See, even if you're there for a month, so you're always allowed to use the plates for the
At a certain point in time, I think it's going to, you know.
Would it help if, like, you switched off dates?
It's also not pasha to me that any of this is correct. Meaning, it could be that it's a din in the gavra, that it's not a din in the plate. That if you're going to be doing this consistently, then I'm concerned that you might come to use varat. I mean, if every day I'm going to use a different tray for plate, so isn't the concern still the same that I'm going to use it for hat? So I'm not 100% sure that Roshachter's chilik, you know, always works. But even according to his chilik, if like you Airbnb an apartment, you wouldn't be allowed to use the dishes more than once. But again, I'm not. I think it might be a din in the gavra. I'm not certain about this. I'm really not certain about this. Let's start with Galdman. But only one. The Taz says you need one or the other, right? That it needs to be as long as the plate was only balea cold in the first place. So this is very different. Meaning, in these hotel situations, the plate was balea with cham, and you have to assume. So the Taz won't help us. Taz won't help. Yeah. Right, that for sure is bishlakim also. Right, plus whatever they're making in that pot. I mean that's all sorts of problems, because they could put all sorts of things in that omelet that are not kosher. And these frying pans, very often people say, "Oh, put some bacon in the omelet." Like, yeah, ooh, that's really bad. So it's bishlakim and it's tarfus, and yeah, nothing hot. Stay away from hot things at these continental breakfasts. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Then on 30 days come from the share of the urine. You're saying the urine is like 30 days, maybe that's why.
I think that's a bit of a stretch. I forgot where in the Mishnah Berurah he brought the raya from. I don't remember, but there was somehow left with us a raya. I don't remember.
You should say something like a
paper waffle maker. So that's a shame. What about the waffle makers in the hotels? So this is a fascinating shame. But it's not really noga to this, because this is meaning it's a more problematic shaila, because you're dealing with hat, and the shaila is on two levels. First of all, do you have to be choshesh that people put non kosher food in it? So it comes with a mix. The mix is kosher, and you're just supposed to pour the mix into the waffle maker. But you know, people in hotels sometimes get sticky, right? You know. So, you know, they're like, oh, what if I had a waffle with bacon and chocolate chips? And they'll start throwing things in the waffle maker or whatever. So some hotels will have a sign next to the waffle maker: please do not put anything else in the waffle maker other than the mix. Those are the ones you really have to worry about, because you know they had a problem, right? So then you really have to worry. So that's one issue. Then the other issue you have to worry with the waffle maker is bishalakum. But I'm not a goy. I'm cooking my own waffle. I'm a Jew. I could bring a ksav yichus. No. Bishul akum, according to one day in Shulchan Aruch, traves up the kelim. So if bishul akum traves up the kelim, and everybody before me that used that waffle maker, you know, was a goy, so then maybe the kli is trafe, and it's a violation of bishul akum. Unless you say that a waffle is not bishul, a waffle is pas. And pas akum is mutter. Certainly with the kelim.
You need to wash your waffle.
Huh?
You need to wash your waffle.
Wash on the waffle. Maybe. All right, so that's a Leibedik discussion. That is, the Smichas Chava Rebbeim had a long back and forth about about that issue. I went back and forth with the real Rabbi Ari Leibowitz on that, like many, many times. So yeah, Leibedik issue.
Would you be...
On what plate?
On the plate which was used.
A hotel plate?
Yeah, on the hotel plate. Would I be able to if it's like a cold piece of meat, like, would I be able to do that?
It's the same according to the Shach. Yeah. I just can't do it every day. According to the Taz, no. because the plate was balea. And according to the Ramah, no. Right? So that's how it would come out. All right, let's just quickly review. You have a clean plate. Let's test it and see if you how good you got it, right? You have a clean plate that was balea with tzonin only, let's say. By the way, how's a plate balea with tzonin? You may use it with cold, but it's not balea anything with tzonin. So there is a way that even with cold, something could be balea. There's something called kavush and there's something called maluach. If something is very salty, or if it sits soaking in it for 24 hours, then we assume there are bleos, even betzonin. So let's say you have a cold plate that was balea betzonin, a pickle jar, right? So it was balea with tzonin, right? So, but it was tray for pickles. I don't know if there's such a thing. But it was a tray for pickles in the pickle jar. What? Yeah, okay, good. So you have, it's balea with tzonin. So you have a cold, clean, cold plate that was balea with tzonin. And you want to put cold, dry food in that plate. Mutter. According to the Shach, for sure. According to the Taz, for sure. According to the Ramah, also. Why? Because it has both. You need both qualities. That it was balea cold, and that you're putting something dry in it right now. Can you put cold, moist food in that plate? According to the Shach, yes. According to the Taz, yes, because you have one or the other. According to the Ramah, no. Okay. Now you take clean plate that was balea b'chamin, a hotel plate. It was balea b'chamin. And you want to put cold, dry food in that plate that was balea b'chamin. You're going to put just crackers or cereal in there.
Is it cold now?
It's cold right now, but it was balea b'chamin. So, according to the Shach, mutter. According to the Taz? Mutter. According to the Ramah?
Asr.
Right? Because you need... You have a clean plate that was balea b'chamin, and you want to put food that is cold and moist in the plate. Only the Shach. Right? That's how it turns out. Okay. The next sugya... I think most pass like the Shach. I think that's the accepted practice. And that's what Shach was telling us. You could pass like the Shach, but if you're at an Airbnb for 2 weeks, you know, then you can't keep using them because the Shach himself pulled it back and said that only if it's Derech Arai. You could argue that the whole situation of being in a hotel is called Derech Arai, but that's not how Rav Shechter understood. So you could argue Rav Shechter Bein Lekula Bein Lechum, right? You could see why it's a judgment call. I've spoken to a few people who like know Yoredeya backwards and forwards, and I asked them like, how are you Magdir Arai? None of them knew. Like it's been very, like this is a critical Shach. And people who like Mam spent years in Yoredeya. People there have a friend who wrote a sefer in Yoredeya. Rav Shechter told me, remember that guy when he was in my shir? He mentioned the guy's name. He said, remember that guy? I'm like, yeah. He goes, he sent me a sefer. He was Mechavrus actually. He said, he sent me a sefer in Yoredeya. I thought I knew Yoredeya. This guy knows Yoredeya backwards and forwards. So that guy didn't know. He didn't know like how to be Magdir, what's called Arai. Anyway, so the next piece we have to do is a sugi really Mesachas Pesachim, and that's going to come up here in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel. Ila agavar o tasa agavar. When you have hot, one food that lands on another food, and one of them is hot, one of them is cold. So which one impacts the other one? How much flavor goes from one to the other? So that, Be'ez Hashem, is going to be tomorrow, and hopefully tomorrow we'll try to finish up this simen. That's going to be the goal.